Well, it's my opinion that one of the largest mistakes we make as Christians is to misunderstand our role in the workplace, is to compartmentalize our lives between work and faith. You know, this is a big problem for us as Christians, that we tend to kind of put things into boxes, that Sunday is for church, or my devotional time is the time I spend with God, and yet we forget that it really doesn't work that way in the Christian life. In fact, we've been looking through Colossians together. We've been studying Colossians as a church over this past fall. In the last couple of weeks, Pastor Jeff and Jim preached from Colossians 3. And in Colossians 3, in the NIV Bible, the section we've been in is titled Rules for Christian Households. And this morning, we're going to find out that Paul addresses this very issue of how our work and our faith interact. I'll just be blunt to say that if we don't understand what we're going to look at this morning, if we can't understand the convictions that Paul talks about in this passage, then we really are stretching if we're going to say that we understand our Christian faith. Because what's here is very important. And if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you and welcome you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start off with verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. How many people do we have in the room this morning that would identify themselves as a slave? I figured most of this section, your hands would go up. Like, yeah. Home, school, pretty much slave. Yeah, that's... This verse starts out with the word slaves, right? How many of us would refer to ourselves as a master? Raise your hand. I figured somebody over here would say something smart about being a master, but no. These words slaves and masters, when I first read this verse, you know, and Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jim say, why don't you preach on this section, Pastor Todd? And I'm thinking, slaves and masters? Well, the last 2 weeks we got it, right? It was husbands and wives, and we talked about what that relationship was like. Last week, Pastor Jim talked about the relationship in the home between mainly a father and his children. And now we read this line that says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. In fact, there's three real convictions here in these verses that I believe, if we understand them, we will be able to live out our faith in all areas of our life, particularly in the workplace, really well. The first conviction that I want to share with you is in verse 22, and it's this. Obey your earthly masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. This word slave is the word doulos in Greek. It's used 44 times in the New Testament and translated into English as slave. But this same word is also translated in the Bible as agent, helper, assistant, day laborer, and hired man. See, at first, if you're like me, you hear the word slave and you kind of put a picture in your mind of what a slave is. Well, in Paul's day, he was definitely writing and talking about slaves in the traditional sense of what we think a slave is. But there's also more to it than that. This word, he's really talking to anyone who is a servant for somebody else. Now look at the word master in this verse. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. This word masters in the Greek can be translated into Lord, ruler, or sir. And really this word falls into two categories. When you see this word master here, it falls into two categories. What is a master? Number one, it's somebody who has authority over you. Number two, it can be someone who instructs or teaches you. So as we look at that word master, we should understand it this morning that it could be a boss, it could be a parent, a teacher, a coach, an instructor, a manager. So right up front, I want us to think about this and expand our thinking here that it's not just a slave and a master. These verses that are coming next apply to all of us somehow. Because almost every day we perform some role under the authority of someone else, or we've placed ourselves under someone's authority as a teacher. So whether it's a teacher, boss, parent, manager, I believe that that all counts. Now let me ask this question. Maybe some of you are already asking this question. What's the big deal whether or not I obey my earthly masters? If you're with me and you're processing this for yourself, you can be thinking of yourself as how you relate to your parents, your boss, your coach, something like that. In a group this size, there's many of us who are under someone's authority who know nothing about God. Maybe they don't know anything about the Bible, but yet they're in this position of being a master over us. Are we reading this right, that Paul would say that we should obey masters who are even, should I say, difficult to serve under? If we did a survey this morning, I'm sure that most of us daily are probably in a position where it's difficult to obey somebody who should have authority over us in our lives. Can I still be a good Christian without obeying my earthly masters? No. No, we can't. Paul is telling us, and remember, he's speaking to even the lowest of the low, to the slaves, saying, you must obey your earthly masters. Look what Paul says in this verse 2. This isn't like just obey in like a kind of a way just to get by. He says, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. At one point in the early 90s, I worked in the garment industry as a screen printer. And I enjoyed my job, and I loved my boss. And one day, he hired this guy who came into where we worked. And at first, he looked like just an awesome employee. He fit in with the team of us who were working together. He worked hard. He was industrious. He had a good work ethic. And then suddenly things started to change. We saw a different side of this guy. You know, when the boss was in the room back there where we were working, everything looked really good. But when it was time for the boss to, you know, go on a sales call or delivery or leave the job site, this guy changed completely. He turned into a real slug. He was one of the laziest guys I knew. He was so blatant that while the rest of us were working, he would just shut off his machine and maybe go take a break, sit there right in front of us, eat his lunch, or read a magazine. Well, I'll tell you what, between my faith and how I was raised, this wasn't hitting me real good. You know, one of my father's famous lines, if you're going to take the time to do something, do it right. So I'm here at work, working away, and right in front of me, there's this just blatant disobedience in the workplace. When Paul says that we need to obey from the heart, and not just when your boss's eye is on you or when your master's eye is on you, I think of this guy. Paul's saying it's not enough to meet the standard when the boss is watching. What are his words again? But with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. I like the way J. Vernon McGee talks about this verse right here. He says, don't keep your eye on the clock, keep it on Christ. If you are lazy on the job, you are not dedicated to Christ. I mean, it's pretty hard as a pastor to put any other spin on these verses other than what it says, that we are to obey our earthly masters. There's something very special at the end of verse 22. It says, obey with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Paul is starting to kind of hint at where he's going to go in the next verse. He's starting to make a connection here that when we do a job, when we work for an earthly master, that there's a spiritual connection to this. He's saying it's more than just doing your job and being obedient in the workplace, that it can actually be worship to the Lord. Look at verse 23. Look where Paul goes next. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. The next conviction that Paul opens up for us is this. Conviction number two is work for the Lord, not for men. Work for the Lord, not for men. Whatever you do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's very interesting to me that Paul doesn't say, if you are serving in the temple, or if you are a teacher of God's word. He says, whatever you do. And he's addressing the lowest of the workers in this message by the use of the word slavery. Whatever you do, work as it unto the Lord. In other words, all work is spiritual. Sometimes we refer to this in the church as the priesthood of believers. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, understand the second conviction because it will change your life. What you do on a daily basis, if you're a follower of Christ, can be reverence to God, can be work, can be worship to Him. We fall into a trap of thinking that there are certain career paths or jobs that are more spiritual. Don't we? It's easy to look at someone who is a missionary, a pastor, maybe even people in the area of counseling and things like this, and we say, wow, those people must really be used of God. I wonder what that's like. Now, I think it's right and good and it's biblical for us to honor and respect the positions in our church of elder, overseer, staff, and pastors. I think that's proper. I think we should keep doing that. However, we should not do that at the expense of misunderstanding what God intends for the body of Christ as a whole. You cannot tell me that there are certain roles and positions where God automatically works more than others. I'm convinced that eternal spiritual work that God does in our midst is probably done more through a lot of you than through what necessarily happens on this stage, as an example. All of us would be missing these verses and understanding these verses if we try to believe that some of us are capable and in a position to do spiritual things for God and some of us aren't. If you believe that, you don't understand this verse. Paul says, whatever you do, do it as you're working for the Lord, not for men. I don't know how, as Christians, we could enjoy life and enjoy our careers and our work if we can't come back to this very fact right here in Scripture. In fact, this verse really says that we now have a new boss. If you're a follower of Christ, you were bought with a price and He is now your master. In fact, that's a biblical term that was used way back by the Israelites. They started saying that we are slaves of God. They took a derogatory term of slave and turned it into a positive. You'll see in your notes in your bulletin this morning that inside your notes, I just put some thoughts and things that I ran across this week that I don't have time to mention in the sermon this morning, but there's some verses in there. There's more ideas about slavery, and it would be helpful for you to use that this week and be familiarized with it. How many of you have heard of or seen the show Undercover Boss? Raise your hand if you're familiar with what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't seen the show, the basic premise of the show is they pick a large corporation, and the CEO or some top-level manager in the company spends a week undercover working kind of in the grassroots areas of the company. And it's funny to watch, and it's also intriguing. The humor from the show for me comes from the fact that you get to watch people interacting with this person that's the CEO of the company, and they have no idea. I mean, it's neat to see a 19, 20-year-old who ends up being a boss of the CEO, and the boss often can't do the work that the younger people can do and stuff like that. But here's what hit me. I'm reading this scripture, and I'm saying, that's how it is for a Christian. Our real boss is omnipresent and omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful and all-knowing. I go to work every day with my boss right there at my side. Now, that'll change your work atmosphere, won't it? In fact, if I take you back to this guy I worked for in the print shop, I was really struggling working with this guy. I was going home angry. I was upset. You need to know that this guy went really far with this whole I don't work when the boss is watching thing, or when the boss isn't watching. He was turning in work papers and taking credit for other people's work. I mean, this guy was really something. And I'm praying through it, and I'm saying, Lord, how do I handle this? And I kept praying about it, and it was quite a while. I'm still struggling every day. I don't want to go to work, don't want to work with the guy. Just can't even look at him after a while. suddenly one day I'm there working at my machine, and he's sitting in the corner reading a magazine. And all of a sudden, the anger and bitterness was gone. And all of a sudden, it was like I'd forgotten sort of that I'd asked God to help me through it. And all of a sudden, it was like God starts working in my heart. And a couple things hit me. Number one, we were peers. I was not his boss or his manager. And what I learned was the Lord saying to me, Todd, you're not responsible for that person. You need to let this go. You're responsible to me as your Lord and Savior. You keep focused. You be the best employee you can. And don't worry about that. Maybe that sounds like a big deal or a small deal to you, but for me it was a big deal. Because I used to get really worked up at the performance of other people around me. And in those moments, God started to take that from my heart. Today, praise the Lord, I'm pretty good with being okay with not feeling like I'm responsible for people around me who are my coworkers. You know, this was empowering to me. I ended up actually building a relationship with that guy. I wasn't mad at him anymore. And unbeknownst to me, the boss really did know what was going on, and that guy didn't last too long. I thank the Lord I handled that properly. You know, I kept my mouth shut, I worked hard, and I kept moving ahead. What happens, though, when you're responsible for others? What if I had been that man's boss or his manager or a coach on the sports team? That's workplace conviction number three. Workplace conviction number three is honor those who work for you. Honor those who work for you. Look with me at verse 25. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. If you're here today and you have a role in someone's life as an overseer, as a boss, a manager, a parent, maybe you're a coach, whatever that role is, this verse is speaking to you. That you are to treat those under your authority rightly and fairly. This is a heavy part of this verse. This is a heavy burden that I know many of you are carrying even right now as we're sitting here this morning. You wish that now I would tell you A, B, C, D, E, what that looks like, right? Can't do it. But as a master, as someone in that boss role, you need to continue to put scripture into your life, to process these verses and ask yourself, what is right and fair? What does Paul mean by this? How do I live this out in my life? I think for some of you also, it's difficult because kind of the foundation and the philosophy of how our business world today works is working against you. If you are a manager or a boss, your basic job, if we just bring it to the bottom, is to get the most you can from your workers for the least amount of money spent. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, well, no, that's really not my philosophy. And I understand that. Just hear what I'm saying. The basic undercurrent of our economy and of capitalism is to produce the most for the least. If you're a boss of somebody, if you have people working under you, does a moment ever arrive where they wouldn't like more pay? Or they wouldn't like more fair treatment? I mean, you're always going to have to try to balance this. It's tough. So as far as what else can I tell you this morning, not a lot, except that you need to take it before the Lord and be asking, what does it mean to honor those who work under you? Being in ministry over the years, I've met more than a few people who have shared with me that they've worked for people who are Christians or claim to be Christians, and it's done a lot of damage to them by having bosses, managers, overseers who claim to be Christian, but there's nothing close to being right and fair being done in the workplace. So this morning, whether we're in this role of being a servant or being a master, we really are in the same place. Because what happens in this whole area of conviction number three is that when we receive power and authority to be over someone, we tend to forget that we're accountable to somebody. I mean, you might be the CEO of your company. You might be a business owner. You might be a board member, and you're near the top of the ladder. But as a Christ follower, you're clear back down in the bottom rung again. You're a servant of Jesus Christ, the Master. So no matter where we're at, we need to process that as that Jesus Christ is now our master. If each of us could really connect with this idea that we need to be obeying our earthly masters, that we need to be working for the Lord, not men, and to be honoring those who work for us, it's transformational. It can be transformational for your life because it brings purpose into your life. I remember being in college. All the guys in my dorm had a job to do in the dorm, and we were assigned that by someone else. For a whole year, my job was to clean all the toilets 2 times a day. In a men's dorm in a college. Woo, that was a fun time. Could I clean toilets and honor and reverence and bring worship to the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. I was serving someone else in love, and the days that I had the right attitude on that, I was pleasing the Lord. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom who's working hard and stressed out to death with the weight of that, whether you're on the construction site, whether you're in an office building, wherever you are at, that's worship to the Lord. And that can be transforming. I'd like you to just bow with me now, and I'd like to close in a time of prayer. Father, Paul's words in this piece of Scripture are easy enough to hear and to understand intellectually. I ask in our lives, Lord, that you would continue to guide us through the process of understanding what it means to follow you, particularly in our relationships in this whole area of work and oversight and the things that we do. And Lord, you know that with all my heart, I believe that there are many people in this room who serve you faithfully and diligently in ways that none of us see. And you're probably accomplishing more through them than anyone could ever imagine. I pray that you'll fill the hearts of those of us in the room who struggle. I pray for students, Lord, who are struggling right now in their classes at school, who have teachers that are hard to obey and teachers they don't like. I pray for those on sports teams and they're struggling with coaches. I pray for moms and dads as they need to guide their own households. And for many of us who work for someone or others work for us. Father, would you help us, especially beginning right now in this week, to understand that you are our boss. And we welcome that because you're a loving Heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.